Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Thursday afternoon. We are, for the first time on the show, practicing social distancing. I'm in my home. Willie's in his home. Chase in his home. I'm representing the south side of town. Willie's over on the east side of town. Chase on the west side. Elijah Campbell back at our Wholesale Link Studios, powered by Rumble On. And we always look forward to our visits on Thursdays at 1 o'clock when we bring in Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. And every week he's brought to you by Carey Zeyer, Remax Elite. Elliot, how you doing?
Not bad. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're hanging in there. Let's just say in our careers, this is a first. We've obviously never gone down a road like this. We're all adapting and, trying to do the right thing, and everybody needs to stay safe. How are things up in your neck of the woods in Toronto?
Well, you know that story that in China that 50% of marriages ended in divorce? I think we're headed in that direction.
Oh, no. This soon? Elliot, I thought you guys were stronger than that.
You know, it's pretty funny, actually. So my son's school didn't close until Monday, but we pulled him last Thursday. We were just careful. We thought that this was going to be coming, and you know, I've learned I'm probably the worst grade 3 math teacher in Ontario. But you know, you make the best of it, like everybody is. We're in really close quarters. I'm trying to do as much work as I can. You know, one thing about us and our jobs, guys, you know, technology has really allowed us to have almost as close to normalcy as anyone can have. You guys are in your homes, but we can still do our shows, right? It's harder to come up with stuff to talk with about, but we can still do our stuff. But I got to tell you, for my wife and son, they are the true champs because they have to battle to find things to do. So it's we're coming up with a schedule to homeschool them. It's a challenge. I'm sure many of your listeners are nodding and laughing. I got sent a picture yesterday, how to make your home office work, and it was a woman, a mother, sitting at her computer while her 3 kids were tied up on the floor. And that one just made me laugh.
That is outstanding. Well, we are definitely all adjusting. And I, too, this time of year, Elliot, you know, the 4 of us, this is the hustle and bustle, man. Sports is crazy. The NHL season is winding down. And just, you know, March Madness was supposed to tip off today. I mean, it's a nutso time in the sports world. And so, you know, you get caught up in work so much this time of year. And I learned, to your point, what you were just talking about last night. Obviously, I'm spending a lot of time around the wife and the 8-year-old son. His big project last night was building a home, a Minecraft home. I don't even know what any of that means, but he was kind of walking me through that. And, you know, he's got a hot tub and a pool. And, you know, I don't even understand any of that stuff. But that's what we were doing last night.
Well, I got to tell you, I like your son's interest, because we're looking at thinking about putting a hot tub and a pool in here. So if he ever wants to visit the real thing, if we do it, you know, he's more than welcome. And if he knows how to build one, and just give me any ideas from his Minecraft, we'll take it.
I love it. Well, I think he was playing up to his crowd. He knows Dad loves hot tubs and pools, so I think that's why he wanted to have that at his virtual home. So we talked about this week on the show, just kind of what was put out there by the players on possibly what this could look like down the road starting in July. I said, just my personal opinion, and Willie and Chase can obviously address this with you as well, I said, I won't ever say 0%, but I have it at like 1 to 2% chance of that being a reality. How do you feel about it and what you saw?
Well, the first thing I would say is I don't think it's an actual NHLPA proposal.
Okay.
I think that's one thing that got clarified to me pretty quickly. I got a call actually not long after that aired from or a text. Then I had a phone conversation with one particular player rep in the league. And, you know, he said to me, if you're going to report on that, it's not an official NHLPA proposal. I think there were a couple of players in a chat group, you know, talking about it, and it got out, as things tend and ideas tend to do at this time of year. You know, one thing we've learned is that the league wants to have this. There's two things I think the league looks at. They want to give a Stanley Cup this year officially for the 2019-2020 season, and they want to have an 82-game season next year. Now, we don't know if that's all going to happen, but that is the goal. So I think anything that compresses next year into anything less than 82 games, I don't think they're interested in that. So I think I think the goal, if you didn't see it, Adrian Wojnarowski is the great NBA reporter. He reported 2 days ago that the former U.S. Surgeon General was on a conference call with the NBA Board of Governors, and he told them a lot of pain in the short term, and you know, maybe you can get something going by mid-June or early July. So the way I think, guys, like, we have no choice right now. I know our minds are racing a mile a minute. We're not going to know until probably about the end of April where we really are. So all we can do is wait. But I look at it from the NHL's perspective, and the NHL's perspective is get a Stanley Cup done this year and have a full season next year. So what I think that means is we've probably played our last regular season game. I can't imagine there'll be any, maybe an exhibition game or something, but I don't think we'll see much more in terms of the regular season. And then we're going to go into an expanded, unique, potentially crazy, and as far as I'm concerned, the crazier the better, playoff format to crown a Stanley Cup champion this year.
Okay, that's okay. One, you know, I'm not saying that because we're rooting. We want hockey, of course, but I'm trying to be realistic because I'm with you. Look, if we are talking about July or even like you said, mid to late June, early July, to me, like the regular season, and I also said this when we were talking about it, that's just not going to happen. To me, that has to go away. And one other thing that I did want to pass along, last thing on my end, and I want to see if you agree or disagree. I've kind of been putting this out there, like let's please stop comparing this to the strike-shortened season, the half year, because it's not the same. Because we have to think about the players and getting back in shape, and everybody saying, give them a week training camp or so, and they'll be ready to go. No, that is not an apples-to-apples comparison. Those players all disappeared and went off and were playing in other leagues. They continued playing while there was no hockey. So, you know, most of them were already in shape because they had been playing. We're, you know, right now, these players, we've been checking in. You know, Craig Smith is painting. Roman Josi is playing with his dogs. You know, the Ekholms are out rollerblading in the streets with their child, with their son in a stroller. I mean, they're not playing hockey games abroad. So it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with that. I mean, I think the one thing is that, you know, I think that at least because of most of these guys had played somewhere between 68 and 70 games, at least they were ramped up to a point. I do think the league is going to look at how soon will they be allowed to get together in small groups. Like, obviously, it might have to be 10 or less, maybe only 4 or 5. Initially, I know they hoped that could have happened at the beginning of next week, that guys could maybe go out in groups, small groups, and skate and throw the puck around and do a little practicing. I think that's been pushed back. I don't think I don't think that's going to happen in the short term. I agree with you. But the thing is this is going to be imperfect. And we all know it. And basically, when they get the all clear that they're going to be able to play, you know they're going to try to come back as quick as possible. And just hope that guys do a good enough job of keeping themselves in shape.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet, and we are talking the state of things as we move forward here. So, Elliot, I saw in your 31 thoughts here the coverage that you guys did on the player for the Ottawa Senators who has tested positive. We've certainly noticed, you know, as we follow things, there are some high-profile people, whether in sports or out of sports, that have tested positive, or a loved one has, or maybe they have a connection with somebody in the medical field, and they use that to be able to pass along the message of, hey, I've got it, but I want everybody to know this is serious, things like that. And this player, I guess, has chosen anonymity here. How has the story been covered up your way with that particular case?
Well, it was a big story because it was the first NHL one. And if you look at the NHL's original statement when they announced they were pausing the season last week, their statement indicated they knew that positive tests were coming. And so I don't think anybody was surprised, but I think that, and of course, we all knew somebody was going to get it, but I think it was still, you know, a bit of a shock that it actually occurred. It's a real awakening. It's here. It's in the NHL now. And, you know, one of the things, guys, I think that's been difficult for people is to, you know, especially in the league, is to remain optimistic at this time. Like, I think this and the next week or two, these are the most pessimistic times, because we're now going through what people in Asia went through and people in Europe went through. We're seeing the numbers go up. We're forced to stay home. We're worried about the economic ramifications. You know, we see, like, you know, we're all trying to be responsible here, social distancing, you guys doing it from our home, me working from my home office, but we see those kids in Clearwater that aren't, and it's very frustrating. And, you know, so I think this is a bit of a pessimistic time, and seeing that player test positive, I think, was also made it even more pessimistic. But to me, we were bound to go through this. And, you know, I think that, you know, some of the questions we had was, okay, what does that mean? How widespread is this? Are there any more Ottawa players who are showing symptoms? And there were some reports yesterday that there were. You saw the statements last night released by the Kings and the Ducks that none of their players were showing symptoms. But so obviously it was a big story up here. It's died down a little bit today. But yesterday, I mean, that was a lot of what we were talking about.
I noticed, too, you pointed this out, and maybe there are some people, because we're not an NBA city here. Memphis is 3 hours down the road, but one thing that has become apparent, and I think there's reasonable to say there's good communication between the NHL leaders and the NBA leaders. The intertwining of the schedule, the buildings that are being shared, mm-hmm. the locker rooms in some cases are being shared, hotel rooms, as we've heard John Forslund tell his story. He just did an interview with one of our local reporters. He happened to have the room that Rudy Gobert was in, and so as a safety, he is quarantined. I mean, full-on quarantined for a while, but the intersection of the two leagues are important, so I'm sure the communication between the two leagues as how do they proceed going forward is just as important.
Well, I would be shocked if those two leagues weren't communicating every day. And I've got to think they're getting a lot of the same information. If you look at their messaging, a lot of it is very similar. So there's no – and don't forget that when they – initially announced the change in the media guidelines, it was on the same letterhead. The NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and Major League Soccer, they all announced that together. That was no coincidence. That was four leagues getting the same info and knowing exactly how to coordinate a response. So you know they're getting all the same information. And you know what? When it's over and we finally get games back, you know that people are going to be starving for sports. Never mind sports reporters like ourselves. The general public, they are going to be starving for games. So you know these leagues are getting all the up-to-date information on, okay, how soon can we plan, and we've got to be ready. And I think, you know, if you take a look at it, you know, the U.S. and Canada have announced the border is going to be closed except for essential travel. You know, earlier this week, the league said, okay, you can go wherever you want, but you got to go now and you got to self-quarantine for 14 days after you get there, because you had to think they knew. So I do think they're getting a lot of the same information, high-level information, and I wouldn't be surprised when they get the all-clear to finally do some things, whether they're in empty stadiums or not, they're going to all hit the ground running at around the same time, because people are going to be starving to watch sports.
What, one more for me quickly, Elliot, before I turn it over to Chase for a couple of questions here. You, in your 31 thoughts, I thought it was great insight. You had a chance to talk to John Hines. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this is all on the shelf for now, but I think it's a good insight on what he's about, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to release it. We're probably going to release the John Hines one next week. If you guys aren't tired of listening to Hal Gill, I think his is coming out tomorrow. We had a really long one with him because we wanted to tie in the Nashville tornado relief in it. So we wanted to get it out early. And, you know, we talked a lot about Hal's career, and then Brian Burke came in and he interrupted everything like he normally does because he wanted to get six questions in. So that one's coming out tomorrow. But the one with John Hines will probably release next week. And basically, you know, we talked – I really like dealing with John. I'm sure you guys have had the same experience. He's blunt. He's honest. He tells you if he's going to answer your question, he's going to answer it straight. Like, I know I'm getting the honesty from him. And I talked to him about, you know, you guys have had situations where some of your best players have been benched. I remember the night in Vancouver where Philip Forsberg got benched for pretty much the entire second period. And I asked him about his process with that, because a lot of coaches don't like doing that with their best players. And I thought he gave a really good answer about, look, basically there's a reason I'm coaching this team now, in the sense that he wasn't supposed to be there, but you made a change because the team wasn't going right. And, you know, he said, I told players that, you know, there's a certain work ethic and level of competition we expect. And if it's not here, you're not going to play. And he said that the players deserve credit because they've adjusted, they've gotten better as of late, but obviously there was a time where it wasn't happening. And I asked him if he would go into any specific conversations he had. And that question can be a third wire question or a third rail question, because I've had some coaches absolutely snap at me for asking something like that before, saying, don't you dare ask me what I tell my players in private. But he said, he talked about one with Victor Arvidsson where Arvidsson was struggling, and he praised Arvidsson as a great player for you guys, who's accomplished a lot in the league. And he said, you know, Victor, if you were the coach, would you have you playing 18 or 20 minutes right now? And he said, Arvidsson answered honestly, no. He says, would you be better right now if I played you 14? And Arvidsson answered honestly, yes. He says, okay, now my job is to get you basically back from 14 to 18. But if you do these things, we'll get back up there. And he said, to his credit, Arvidsson's gotten back up there. And I just really liked the fact he was willing to share that window, because, like I said, I remember early in my career, there's a football coach up here named Don Matthews, and he said, don't you ever ask me what I talk to my players about in private. And so you never know what kind of response you're going to get to that question.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, and as we continue this conversation, Elliot, about when the schedule might resume and whether you do regular season, you do playoffs, as the guys brought up earlier, you're going to have some sort of training camp and getting guys back on the ice. How much do you think that affects older players that, you know, might be thinking that this was their last year, they were going to hang it up? Do they really want to go through the process of a training camp and then only to play a handful of games?
Well, I think what's going to happen there is that, look, here's the reason I think, Chase, your answer is yes. First of all, Chase, do you get paid for the first 7 minutes of this interview? You could have gone and gotten like a beer or something like that. You could have to sit back.
It's his bathroom break.
Yeah.
You know, Chase, look, I think there's a couple of things here. I think everybody recognizes this is a unique situation. And you have to pull together for the betterment of the league. And I've been told if the players, if there's no playoffs this year, if they get canceled, I've been told that they're worried their escrow, which for those of you who aren't familiar with this, the amount of their salary that will get withheld from every paycheck to make sure that the split is 50-50 players league of revenues that's determined by the CBA. I've been told that their share of escrow could be between 30 and 40%. Now, just imagine, everybody listening to this, that between 30 and 40% of your paycheck was held back every time. You would be insanely angry. And everybody would be. It's frustrating. So I think the players know if they come back, they're coming back in a unique playoff structure that's interesting, that will capture eyeballs, that will be new and different, and it will help the revenues of the league. Do I think that there would be some players, Chase, who would say, oh, my God, I'm coming all the way back to play, I don't know, two games? If you get enough, like if they, let's say they have a 2014 tournament, the top four on each in each conference get byes, and the next 16 have to play for eight spots. And say it's two-game series that they figure out. And then someone says, what, I played two games and now I'm done again? I can understand how that would be annoying, but right. I think for the greater good of what you need to accomplish, you have to deal with that. I mean, look, this is a crazy, unique, hopefully once-in-a-lifetime situation. You've got to think of the bigger picture.
Do you think that this might change the strategies of general managers when they approach mainly free agency or trades this summer, whenever the offseason actually takes place, because of this downtime and this unique situation?
I think it's possible. Well, because one thing is the salary cap. I've heard that $1 billion in revenues could be affected. That's last year, this league was a $5 billion in revenue league, so that's 20%. Now the cap is 81.5 this year. The estimate at the most recent GM meetings, which were 2 weeks ago, was somewhere between 84 and 88.2. It's unlikely to get there now. As a matter of fact, I think what you're going to see is that the league and the players are going to negotiate a number that won't squeeze everyone too much. Like I could see it being the same as it is this year, 81.5. And so I think that will affect a lot of shopping. No question about that. I think it's very possible that, a lot of plans are going to be changed. I think the other thing too, guys, is that there were some situations, I think, where owners were thinking of making changes, whether it was with their GM or their coach. This might change all that now too. So I think this is kind of throwing a big spin cycle into the way things are getting planned. And, look, you guys are in an NFL city. You guys know how crazy that CBA vote was last week. How many people do you think voted? Like, the NFL seems to be everything proof. But how many of those players do you think voted and said, I don't know where the world is going here, so I'm going to take the security of the deal? I bet you quite a bit of the non-superstars did. And I bet you a lot of hockey teams will think the same way.
I think you're on to something. I think you're definitely right about that. All right, last thing real quick, Elliot. Right now, 50%, over, under, you think the NHL draft, forget us, whether it's a public gathering. I mean, 50% over, under that the NHL draft will take place on June 26th and 27th. How would you answer that?
I will say under 50%
under.
Takes place on June 26th, 27th. And I'll say it because I'm an optimist who believes we will be playing. Okay. And I believe the NHL draft most likely will be done by the video conference. Maybe they take it somewhere small and invite 10 players like they did in 2005. But I think it's more likely than not we do it by video conference.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, we wish you nothing but the best with surviving with your family. We feel like we believe in you. We feel like you guys can make it. You can get this done.
I hope so. I hope you guys are right. You guys too. I'm glad we're still talking. I want the normalcy. Once a week, we should all be chatting with each other.
No doubt about it. Elliot, appreciate it as always. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys take care.
All right. That is Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. 31 thoughts on every week on Thursdays at 1 o'clock. He's brought to you by Carrie Zier, Remax Elite. We'll hit on some of the things you just heard on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.